And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Monarchs of Wrestling. Yes, I am here. The Playmakers here. My co-host, he's having some traveling issues, so you know it was time for me to step up to the plate and make sure the show keeps rolling. He's gonna do his best to get here. You know, he's working his way to get here. He's gonna do his best to get here. But I'm not alone here. Coming to the stage and joining me tonight, as he did last week when he joined us, the one, the only Mr. Cole Johnson.
Throw them ones up. Acknowledge me. What's up, Playmaker?
What's up, man?
Oh, man. Everything is good. Everything is good. Well, everything be better after the show's over.
Oh, Lord. How was the weekend for you, sir?
Draining and stressful, but Sunday ended up being relaxing. Both sports-wise, it was stressful both sports-wise and personal-wise, but we made it through. God brought me through. We good and we here. Mama made it.
Yep, we made it, and we made it through another WrestleMania. WrestleMania 42 is officially in the books.
Yeah, the 42nd edition.
First and foremost, let me say, do not take y'all asses back to Las Vegas.
Ever. No, not a long time. Don't you ever go to Las Vegas again. Ever.
He went a step further. I was going to be somewhat nice. Miss Johnson decided to go full blown. Don't ever go back to Vegas.
Don't ever go back to Las Vegas. Three times, and all three times you've been in Las Vegas, it's been the it.
So, yep, here we are to recap the festivities that took place at WrestleMania 42 in Las Vegas, Nevada. Night one, Mr. Johnson. Night one. So we had the debut of WrestleMania on ESPN. The debut started on ESPN2 with the Usos and LA Knight going against the Vision, who are the World Tag Team Champions. And I shall speak.
Okay, I'll admit that the best part of that match was having Eyeshow Speed show that he does have some wrestling chops to him. And he definitely is a brave man, because leaping from the top rope to an announcer's table. Yeah, that's not easy. But he did it.
That was the opening match to ESPN, even though it was on ESPN too. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Eyeshow Speed. What did I tell you? I told you I'm cool with Eyeshow Speed because he's willing to take the bumps. If you're willing to take the bumps, I'm good.
No, I'm good. No. I already knew that, because the bump he took last year's Royal Rumble with Bron Breakker. He earned my respect then.
Yeah, saw it in half.
Yes, he earned my respect then. I'm like, oh, you actually were willing to go through that? Oh my gosh, wow.
And sold him in half. Ooh. So I'm only saying that because you know how everybody, everybody, including yourself, you have also admitted, you're getting titled celebrities in WWE.
Oh, Travis Scott, anyone? Yeah.
But I was like, I'm good with Eyeshow Speed. I'm good. He's willing to take the bumps. And plus, he let LA Knight come in his arm and throw him through a freaking screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, we'll later on talk about Lil Yachty. I'm good with him now.
I'm like, if you're gonna allow a wrestler to throw you through a screen in your own building, I'm good. That means you're fully invested.
Mm-hmm.
I can work with that.
Yeah.
So that's how WrestleMania started. Then we get to the unsanctioned match. Now, those of you, let me clarify some things for you. Okay. And Mr. Johnson, he probably gonna still say the same way that he feel about this match, but he know what I'm saying is understandable. You have to realize they are on ESPN too. There's only so much brutality that they can actually do.
Yeah, remember, this is still Disney, so they got to temper what they show.
Okay, so if you are not happy that you ain't get any blood,
you weren't going to get any.
Yeah, ESPN 2. Not the app. ESPN 2. It's a difference. But for me,
you weren't going to get any blood.
For me, though, I feel Drew McIntyre and Jacob Fatu did what they had the opportunity to do.
Only issue I had with that match is, why are you going to make this unsanctioned? But you knew you were going to be limited by the violence that you put forth in the match. If you're going to make that match unsanctioned, put that on pay-per-view. I'm sorry. Put that as a premium live event territory. Because if you were looking for them to fight out in Las Vegas Strip, that wasn't going to happen with this match being on ESPN2. Because I was hearing the chatter too. Well, why did they put this match on ESPN? Well, no, why is this match just a glorified street fight? And they said it was unsanctioned. That sucks. Well, that's what happens. You put that match on a place where they care about the little kitties.
Yes, they should.
I'm not saying there's a bad nor a wrong thing, but like you said, and I'm saying it from another lane, you got to temper your expectations. You weren't going to get that blood pouring from both their faces like they were going to wear a crimson mask. You weren't going to get that type of match from them. You just weren't.
I like the fact that Jacob Fatu got his moment.
I am too. And he looked good in it. He actually looked good.
That's why I like. I need to give Drew McIntyre his credit.
I was going to say, he looked good, and Drew McIntyre, as he always does, sold his behind off. People got to understand, this dude knows how to put big-time talent over. That's why he's at the top of the card.
Now, I need WWE to stop playing around and actually give Drew McIntyre his actual
long-term run. Yes, he is owed. He is owed a lengthy WWE/World Heavyweight Championship run. I don't care if you make him a babyface champion or heel champion. I don't care. He does well both ways, in my opinion. When he's a baby face, he's a great baby face. When he's a heel, he's an awesome heel. Give him a title and give him a run at least 6 months long. Give it to him. He's more than earned it.
Need people put respect on his name. But before we continue on, say hello to my sister, Miss Yolanda Williams.
Yolanda at Yolanda Williams 358 says, hey, what's up, girl? We had a really good conversation before night two of WrestleMania. And she says, put them ones up with four acknowledge me ones in the air. And she says, oh, they going back for sure. Yeah, they definitely going back because that's where their home headquarters are, TKO. So they're going back. But they don't need to ever be there. And she says, let's go 5-2. Yeah. I think what this established is for Jacob actually to now be no worse now than an upper mid-carder. Because now it's about how can they position him to where he actually can fit into the world title picture. And that's what's going to be from now to probably about Survivor Series. And depending on how well that goes, we'll see if he actually gets or if he sniffs the main event picture. But he did a great job, and Drew was outstanding in the match.
So,
she says, "I agree totally with his time." Yeah. Yeah.
And speaking of my co-host, even though we're jumping ahead. You just make sure you get home safely, sir.
Cool McCain. Whoop that Trick. Because we're going to talk about Trick Williams a little later.
Yep, we'll get there later. That was ESPN2. Welcome to WWE. Oh, I ain't miss your comment. I'm going to come back to that comment. That's when we get to grade night one. I'm coming back to that. I got you, sis. I ain't miss it. I saw it. Then we get to the main card. Oh, so I say the out portion of WrestleMania night one. Women's Fatal 4-Way for the Tag Team Championship. Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Lyra Valkyria, the Irresistible Force, who were the champions, who came out third, by the way. That's when I knew something was wrong. And the Bella Twins. Oh, wait. Hold on. No, Nikki Bella was not cleared to compete. So she called in a friend, and it happened to be Paige. Pop of the night, by the way. The night one. Pop of the night. I think you might be the only one booing. Because that place jumped when Paige music hit.
Yeah, I get pop of the night, but... the end result. But the end result sucked.
Yeah, unfortunately for my brother here and Coach Johnson, what do me and Cool McCain always say? If you're going to return, you pretty much going to win.
I don't give a crap about that.
Paige return, we knew that it was going to win.
I don't give a crap about that. When the Bella Twins have now soiled their nasty hands on them titles.
Both of them have, by the way.
Oh, don't put Paige with somebody. Put Paige with somebody else.
I mean, you get to do most of the recap because you already know I did mine Sunday morning, so mine is already up there.
Hot garbage.
I knew it was true that Paige returned. I know it was reported, but I knew it was actually going to happen because the tag team champs came out third. Mm-hmm. I'm like, ah, so it is true. So she is returning tonight. Okay. You don't have the tag team champs come out third. That don't even make any sense.
No. Which is why I said it was hot garbage. Hot. And that was tantamount to how I knew how the night was going to go. So we already were 0-1 in the PLE portion of night one.
So congratulations to Brie Bella and Paige. They are the new women's tag team champions.
Now lose it tonight.
I highly doubt that, but.
You had your moment. Now lose it tonight.
Speaking of changing titles. Women's Intercontinental Championship. AJ Lee defending against Becky Lynch.
And you want to know why I said the WWE should never have a WrestleMania card in Las Vegas ever again? That match between those two, the crowd wasn't in it at all. As they would say in wrestling parlance, it was the drizzling it's.
I mean, it was the fourth time these two have gotten in the ring together. AJ Lee is 3-0, so we all knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Becky ain't losing that Mania. Put it on AJ Lee because y'all know y'all want Becky to win at that Mania.
Yeah. Yeah, Lynch is
going to win. And by the way, And by the way, how ironic, because the same position that Paige was in, guess who's in that position last year? Mm-hmm. Becky Lynch. So it's just one of those things. So two titles changed hands in night one. But we will not get to the third one yet because we had a interesting match. But first off, that doesn't surprise me that one.
Kuma Kane at Kuma Kane 15 says, I don't have much to say about night one.
And speaking of
Yolanda, about the Becky Lynch AJ Lee match, said, that match was just so boring. Yeah, it had it did have a going through the paces type of feel. I'll admit that. It did.
Well, the wife won her match. Can the husband win hers? Seth Rollins versus Gunther.
Probably provided the best in-match moment of the night.
We were going to see if Seth Rollins coming back, will he win or will Gunther win, because he's doing Paul Heyman a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, very surprisingly physical match, to be honest with you.
Surprisingly,
Rollins can't physical. I didn't think he was going to kill it in that match. Yeah. He just got back, so you coming out the gate, you're going to be physical.
Well, I mean, he took hard bumps in the beginning of that match. So I sort of understood then. I'm like, oh, okay. So I guess Rollins is doing all right. Otherwise, he wouldn't be taking those types of hard bumps early in the match to Gunther, because you're gonna take harder bumps later on in that match with him. And Rollins brought it. I was impressed about that. He brought it,
and then a surprise happened. Would you like to take that?
I mean, it was amazing that you know, Rollins was on the floor. He was, you know, he was admiring his handiwork. Because I'm not mistaken, yes. I think he stomped Gunther
through the announce table.
He posed a little bit, took it in the crowd, then he turned around and got super speared by a returning Braun Breaker. That was pretty how that was done. So of course Breaker rolls in the ring, and then Breaker returns. Rollins gets rolled in the ring by Breaker, and then Gunther puts him in the sleeper.
Put him to sleep.
Gunther wins.
Braun was not finished because he saw Seth Rollins getting up.
He had to issue a second spear on him.
I gotta say this now. I would wait later. WWE can be stopped with the very long ramps now.
from almost a football field's length. Like, wow, okay.
Do you realize how far that man had to run to go spear Seth Rollins again?
Yeah.
That was crazy. I'm like, geez, he's here on the long way.
Mm-hmm. But they love that shot. I'm like, oh Lord, they're gonna keep having him. They're gonna have him do that. If he's willing to run like that, they're gonna have him do that every big time pay-per-view. I mean, I'm sorry, big time PLE.
So Gunther gets the dub, Braun Breaker returns. We have a happy Paul Heyman on night one.
Pretty happy, yeah.
Then we get to the Women's World Championship match. Stephanie Baker defending against Liv Morgan.
Okay, I got what they wanted to do in the match, and it was okay. The match is pretty good. I like the fact that the two girls were physical. They kept the physicality that they built in the lead in to the match. Correct me if I'm wrong, sir. or I might be seeing something, and it might be just my own eyes. Did the pace of that match look a little bit uneven to you?
That was every match on night one.
That was the thing that I disliked about that match. It just looked uneven.
The total match time for all the matches in night one total an hour and 35 minutes.
So I was like, man, I want to get into the match. I want to get into the match, and it wasn't that Liv sucked or Stephanie sucked or the chemistry was bad. It just seemed off.
That match was 7 minutes long.
Yeah. And I think that's why. So they rushed everything. Okay. Because I was like, it just seemed uneven.
The main show started at 6. You had a 3-hour pre-show that started at 3. Mm-hmm. You ended it around about 9:30. Mm-hmm. And your total match time was an hour and a half. Yes.
With the main event taking up a third of that.
What tells you what? My sister said it perfectly.
Yep. Yolanda Williams, 358, she says, the commercial breaks were longer than the matches. You actually ain't lying. Because they were longer than about almost all of them.
But, all right. Should I say it now or should I wait and combine the two together? What do you think?
The Liv Stephanie Vicata match. Yeah. Liv actually regained the World Heavyweight Championship. After failed interference by Judgment Day.
So should I say it now or should I save it when we get to the other match that I wasn't too thrilled about?
You can save it.
Save it, okay. Mm-hmm. And as we by the way, the host of the WrestleMania was John Cena, and by the way, John Cena, perfecto.
You did a great hosting. Job.
Perfecto now,
I will say this. That was one of the three saving graces. Well, four saving graces of night one. I show speed, Braun Breaker's return, an event that you haven't mentioned yet, and John Cena hosting.
We barely forgot John Cena was hosting.
Mm-hmm. Because night one was that bad. Night one was that bad.
Like he said, you can't see me. We barely saw him.
Mm-hmm.
But he came out, did what he's supposed to do. He went on about his business.
He did an awesome job, yeah. And which means we're going to be seeing him again in that role, probably in another WrestleMania very soon.
He came out and did to give the attendance, nice attendance to very nice attendance. It was like 40-something thousand in that one. Oh, hold on, we lost Cole. Let me do this real quick. Like, was it like 40-something thousand? Like 40?
They said it was 50.
For night one?
Yeah, for night one. They said like 50,000, like 50,600 around there.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, we had the attendance record. And then a music popped up.
On my own. The precious own.
Oh, she's here. Hold on. Why did you hit night one? We want you for night two, not night one.
Night two. Yeah, one for night two.
What you doing here? And then everybody, and then when they did a close up, you can start hearing everybody start speaking up on social what's going on. Mm-hmm. Gives in the rain. She makes the announcement. She's pregnant.
That was the moment of the night in night one. That was the moment of the night. Paige may have had the bigger pop, but that was the best moment of night one and the biggest moment of night one. Bianca Belair being pregnant.
I said it on my little recap. I'm going to say it here. It's bittersweet. Okay. It's more sweet than bitter.
Because we'll get a chance to see her for a good minute.
Yeah. And we was ready for her and Jay to get at it. You know, it was like, all right, mm-hmm. Bianca return to WrestleMania. We can get her and Jay to go at it.
Yeah. Bitter because then, we now won't see her for a good minute.
But it's more sweet because it's like, everybody knows who's my favorite WWE couple. You think I'm finna be mad?
Yeah.
It's
sweet that Montez and Bianca will have their first child together. That's awesome.
I'm like, yes. All right, my favorite couple. They're having a baby. I like it. And those of you who want to be mad at Jimmy Uso and Montez Ford, go get a life. Okay.
Man, no.
They are married men. They have a job to do.
Yeah. And they have a job at home to do. And they are fulfilling that job. And all I can do as a man is salute them both.
Let them do their job as husbands.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like they were girlfriend and boyfriend and it happened. They are literally married.
Your husband and wife. And been that for years. Same with Jimmy and Naomi / Trinity. They've been married for years. And I'm not surprised. I was like, oh, I'm happy for them. But I was like, okay, cool. They're actually going to have a baby now. That's good. I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy to see that too. And Yolanda Williams, 358, she says, and I scream like a little girl, LOL. And ain't going to fault you for it because, as you're well aware, as one of the greatest moments in a woman's life to actually give forth life to someone special. And now Bianca's going to get the understanding of what it is to be. She knows what it is to be a stepmother, but she will now know what it will mean to be a mother for the first time. And that is awesome. Great person, great responsibility, and she's going to be EST with the mother as she is with everything else.
But we did get to see her at WrestleMania, so.
Yeah. And congrats, Montez. Congrats to you, brother.
And now joining us is my co-host.
Gentlemen. What's going on, good people? Well, since we're on a topic that was of some interest to me for night one, unlike most of night one, I figured this was what was going down. Cause she's been gone for a good minute. And she's gonna have problems with that knuckle probably for a good minute. But I knew it couldn't just be that knuckle keeping her out of action because you can put a fake knuckle in there. You know what I'm saying? And keep it moving for a minute. But the fact that she was out as long, I was like, yeah, she got pregnant somewhere in there. And hey. Papa Tez, he could join the Ski and Yee connection.
Yep. With that led us to the main event of night one, Undisputed WWE Championship. Cody Rhodes defending against Randy Orton with Pat McAfee on the side.
Lord have mercy.
And before we got the match started, shenanigans took place to where Pat McAfee was taken out with a crossroads. And Jelly Roll putting Pat McAfee through the table. They even brought the stretcher out for Pat McAfee. And probably to insult Mr. Johnson, he gave a thumbs up while being stretched out. When he did that, you know what I said? I said, oh,
he's coming back.
He'll be back. He will definitely be back. But for the meantime, it was just Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton. Did you feel that it was the match that you wanted when it was just them two before Pat made his undeniable return?
Here's what sucked. That match actually was pretty good without the involvement of Pat McAfee. which goes to show you did not need his involvement for this match to go, even at a WrestleMania, to go off without a hitch. You got two veterans, one of them over 25 years, that has been doing the doggone thing. You did not need to have Pat McAfee drum up more interest because you actually crapped the bed in having these tickets be $20,000. And you wondered why the week of WrestleMania you ain't selling the thing out. Oh, let's spice things up by putting an absolute goof in the program.
I'm like, so, God, what happened? They go at it. Cody Rhodes does the dirty trick, thumb to the eye to Randy Orton. A bloody Randy Orton at that. And Charles Robinson gets RKO'd.
That was a nice spot. That was a nice spot.
And who comes running? Who comes running down in the referee shirt? What a neck brace on.
The goof himself.
Pat McAfee's
referee shirt and sunglasses in tow. Pat McAfee, aka Goof.
He does the count. One, two. Cody Rhodes gets out. You seen the look on Randy Orton's face, and you already knew what was coming.
Yeah, the count was too slow.
You knew the look on Randy Orton's face. You knew what was coming. Count was Pat McAfee, you get RKO'd.
He got Orton got in position, delivered the spot of the night. Yes, even more than jelly, even though jellyfish, I know it's jelly roll.
You call him jellyfish?
Even more than the jellyfish splash onto the announce table earlier in that match. Even more so than I show speed leaping off the top rope to the announce's table. Even more so than Braun Breaker with the 100-yard spear of the first one. The second one was but even the first one to Seth Rollins, the spot of the night, Orton RKOing Pat McAfee, aka Goof.
I admit, Pat is entertaining. You gotta get
he
out
was,
there.
He was entertaining being a non-factor. Now, if he pulled this crap with other matches, if he pulled it with all the other matches except for the main event on Sunday, then I would have been good with it. But outside of that, I'm like, you did not need. Why didn't you do that crap with the? Why didn't you do that crap with one of the six participants in the ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship? That would have been a whole lot better and a whole lot more entertaining to me.
Well, that Mr. Johnson, you have to remember.
Did you crap the main event?
That this was all part of Paul and his long-term booking.
I'm like, why? I mean, he would have served a better purpose if he was with at least four of the six in that match, because he could serve as mouthpieces for four of them. You put McAfee in a match where neither one needed a mouthpiece. Neither one needed his muscle of what little he could provide. Neither one of them needed his punting expertise.
No, I mean, it could have been good with Randy Orton, technically. Could have been a double punt.
After what happened to Cody Rhodes, I don't think a double punt would have been suffice on that one.
I didn't say it would have sufficed. I'm just saying it could have been. That's the only argument I can make. Like, well, Cole, that's the only thing he maybe could have brought. I mean, I will 100% agree with you on the fact that he wasn't needed in this match. That's what you call trouble booking. You're booking something just to try to add someone where they'll be seen. Well, like you said, it didn't really need to be seen in that spot. Respectfully, overall, night one of WrestleMania, did not really do it for me.
And it was punctuated by how the main event went.
Yeah.
That was the cherry on that crap Sunday. The main
event. After Randy Orton RKO'd Pat McAfee, Cody Rhodes took advantage of it, Crossroads. Cody Rhodes retains the title.
Two, three.
Cody Rhodes.
The only thing that would have made this better, of course, is that Randy would have won. If he's actually hurt and he beat Cody up and he's gonna be out for a few months, then he's gonna come back and take the belt from him. I'm good with that. Right? But if you're gonna run this match back at like Backlash and have Randy Orton win, then you have basically told me you don't care about Cody Rhodes or Randy Orton. And if you don't care about him, why should I care about him? And that's kind of when I look over night one. I think the performers did the best that they could with what they had. But I felt like WWE just took a poop on some paper. And then for the other half, they just threw some poop on the wall. And then whatever stuck is what they did. This was not a... overall, this was not a night that was well-planned. It was like a lot of stuff was thrown together. I know storyline-wise, a lot of stuff was thrown together. And you can tell when, like, watching. And I mean, some other people might have a different, outlook, but, hey, night one did not do it for me.
I don't. You typified almost to the word exactly what I thought about night one. And... And you did a better job than I could in describing why it was such a crap Sunday, because
Saturday.
As I said earlier, it just seemed the whole card in night one just seemed uneven.
He means Saturday, not Sunday.
Yeah.
Never say never, my sister. But his wife said he was done, and he on his show said he was done. So
yeah, the goof did say. If Cody won, he would no longer surface in WWE. Yes, he did say that.
No, I'm talking about he today on his show. He pretty much hinted that he's done.
Yeah, I think he was tired of. Honestly, I think he was tired of WWE, and he was trying to find a way out. And they gave him a way out, and he jumped on it. Pause. He jumped on it and wrote it. Pause again. Yeah, I mean, he has a lot of other stuff going on. I mean, a few years from now, he'll probably slide back in. But I think, honestly, I hate to say this, but I like Corey Graves as an announcer more. I really do. And McAfee. McAfee's fun in small doses, but like for like 6 months of McAfee Street, he's like, all right, bro, go ahead and take a break. Mm-hmm. So I think this would be a good thing. I mean, he could do something behind the scenes with WWE or be like have a Legends contract where you ought to speak for their behalf and stuff like that. But we didn't really need him no more. Once we got Booker T, we didn't need him no more.
Night one.
Suck.
Was given a C minus by my
sister. Being kind, Yolanda.
C minus.
I gave it a solid C. Wasn't I? It was all right.
If it weren't for Bianca Belair saying she's pregnant, that card's an F.
Well, she did put this in here too.
She said it would have been an F. If they didn't have the surprise of Braun, Ice Show's jump, and seeing her girl being my girl too, Bianca Belair.
I'm gonna give it a D. It deserves. It deserves a darn D. I'm giving it a darn D. And those are the only three reasons why it gets a darn D. Because without those, it would have the lowest possible grade, double F.
All right. So you got two grades for night one. Going to take a commercial break, come back, and we're going to go in at night two.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green. And the Jets wore green. That's how I become a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan, say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on YouTube and where you can find podcasts. Rams fans all around the world.
It's a beautiful thing to be a Rams fan right now. Stafford's back. We will see about Cup. And running back Kerryon Williams to return.
Lend me your ears. Or should I say lend playmaking your ears as he breaks down week by week everything in the Los Angeles Rams canon.
Number 99, Aaron Donald. Can't wait for 2029 to come to know that you are going in the Hall of Fame and it should be first ballot, no questions asked.
Join the playmaker as he breaks down everything Los Angeles Rams style in Ramily Talk on the Playmakers Blog Network YouTube channel and where you can find podcasts. Hey, Eagles fan, join my man Cool McCain and a host of others as they break down every single game, every single week, in an objective manner, and also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, this cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care! Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast. Every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets.
Hey, welcome back to Monarchs of Wrestling. We are here in the building. Cole Johnson and myself on your screen. Audio only is my co-host, Cool McCain. And Cool, y'all ready for the NFL draft?
Ah, yes, it is Thursday. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Yeah, I am.
Cool. Your group ready for the NFL draft?
They had better be, sir. If they're not, they know the fan base they got to deal with. That's all I'm going to say.
So here we are. The NFL draft is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So you can probably hear from Mike on the Rams side. You can hear from Cool McCain and his crew on the Eagles Elite side.
Oh, you will hear from us. The Wednesday after, we'll be on talking about what we've done at draft.
So that's in the future.
In the future,
we still got another night to get to Sunday, WrestleMania Sunday night 2. This first hour was actually on ESPN, and there was no other way they should have started.
Over. Can I just say one thing? Listener?
Go ahead.
This night one, night two, is the best argument for why WrestleMania should just be one night again. But
why this? Why WrestleMania should only be one night?
Yes.
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, this was good.
I don't disagree with you on that, actually.
Yeah, I would agree with you, but they went ahead and made SummerSlam 2 nights too, so.
Which, that's a bunch of crap too.
Well, sir, just because they do it doesn't mean you don't agree with what's right. Right? It's like somebody, you know, I don't know, you can't use the reference on here, but just to say, just because somebody's doing something that's wrong, we don't support wrongness just for the sake of supporting wrongness.
Well, I say that because eventually they're going to get to the Royal Rumble, and that's going to be two nights. And then Survivor Series is going to be two nights.
And the first night, all of them are going to suck.
Yeah, we already know Royal Rumble is going to be probably slated for two nights, which...
Yeah, you know Royal Rumble is going to be two nights. I'm surprised that SummerSlam happened before Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I'm surprised they even had him go two nights sooner, too. But I'm like, nah. SummerSlam should be.
We don't need these night twos. I would rather WWE give us an extra two or three PLEs throughout the year than give us these two night craps. I'd rather go back to having like 15 premium live events and having like three sparse out, like a 3 week one instead of 4 week or something, rather than having these two nights.
They probably draw better too.
Yep. Before we continue on, my brother,
Dre Day, Sportswear Dre Day podcast. He's in the building. He says, "What up? What up, Playmaking Cole? What up, Dre? It's good to see you, my brother."
I was on his show last night talking about night two for WrestleMania.
Oh, and your wrestling stuff, bro, and your WNBA stuff, top shelf elite stuff, man. Keep it up, man.
And congratulations on your 1,000 subscribers on YouTube, man.
Oh yeah, congratulations, man. That's what's up. Congratulations, man.
Yeah, that's a big thing right now. Getting to 1,000.
Mm-hmm. Night two, we kicked it off with Oba Femi versus Brock Lesnar.
Boo!
WWE pulled the trigger.
Boo!
The only reason why Cole Johnson is booing because it was the first night on the card. It was the first match on the card.
That's the best.
Outside of that, he has no other reason of booing it because that match. They were supposed to have done.
That's the best hype match of the card. And you waste it and put it on free TV. Why?
Because the world championship was the main event.
Well, you could have put that on free TV. We wouldn't have cared.
Now, how long that match went? No way.
Well, I'll take that back. They actually could have put the Orton. Lead off night two.
No.
That would have been beautiful. Yeah.
See, he won
as
a separate.
Crappy as that match was, it's deserving of free.
He won a separate. See, Cole Johnson's thing, he wants to sabotage what WWE and ESPN has going on. That's his goal right now.
We make it so easy for you to do it.
You had this conversation last week. We're not going to revisit it.
It'll make it easy for you to do it anyway, so it is what it is.
Cole Johnson has a hidden agenda.
It's not hidden. I think it's very clear what his agenda is. I don't think it's hidden at all.
You crap on how you messed up hyping up tickets, and you put your best match you hyped up for free television.
But Cole, how could that be the best match hyped up when they have the OTC? Versus CM Punk, the two greatest guys to ever lace up their boots and put on trunks. The God. It's a professional wrestling.
You raise a really good point there, Cole. You raise a wonderful point. The fact you have this as one of your two main events. You have Orton and Cody, who's your other big time main event, but you're crying because the week of WrestleMania, you ain't sold out your buildings. Neither night.
But can I say that I don't believe it? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Put on free television. But the most hype, the best hype match you have, you put on free television.
Is it just me? Do those numbers sound a little inflated? A little, as Stephen A. Smith would say, bloviated.
If it was in an arena, yeah. But being in a stadium, maybe. Well, but so you did see some empty seats.
That's what I'm saying. So I feel like those numbers might have been bloviated a little bit.
But if I remember correctly, in Cole, you probably I think that stadium was about what 80,000.
No, it could hold. Normally football holds about 65,000-ish. But since it can host a Super Bowl, it probably can extend itself to hold at least 72.
Yeah, I just like the fact that it did way worse than last year, so they won't try this bull crap again with us. If you were going to take it back to Vegas, I would rather you just take it to Saudi Arabia and really get money for it.
Which that's what they're doing next year, but yeah.
Oh, of course. You got to go to Saudi, man. You got to get that Saudi money.
Mm-hmm.
So ESPN channel was treated to Oba Femi going over Brock Lesnar. And seemingly Brock Lesnar calling it a career.
That's the way you call a career. Now, see, here's what I just want to say this real quick about that. So we had this whole thing about AJ, he got to go out and got to lose a match to Gunther, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was Gunther to take Brock Lesnar out since he's supposed to be the career killer?
Bro, I was waiting the whole time saying, like, I'm waiting for somebody to come out because this is a long goodbye going on right now.
But shout out to my boy, Oba Femi, doing Oba Femi's things.
We were suggesting the ruler took out the beast. Mm-hmm. Seemingly for good.
Yeah, he did his thing.
And I had a feeling that match was going to be short because I'm like, if you're only giving these two matches an hour, that means Obi and Brock going to be a quick banger, and then the latter match need to be a banger. And
then the rest of
the
match was a banger.
That Intercontinental Championship match, oh my goodness.
That match was a banger. And I will say this, if it wasn't for the main event that night, later that night, I would say that was the match of the card.
I'm still saying it. We can talk about that. You got anything you want to say about the ladder match, McCain?
So I just want to say shout out to Penta for just being the wild dude that he is. You know what I'm saying? And of course, we was outside a couple of times. My boy, Mr. Evans, down there showed everybody who he is. We love to see that. Yeah, ain't really much else for me to say.
Penta retains the Intercontinental title in a thrilling, fun Intercontinental Championship ladder match on free TV, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, and it told us before, it told us on Friday night that the Rusev wasn't going to win. It was wasn't it Friday right. When he was out there beating everybody down, like, well, he ain't going to win.
But that was necessary. I could see why they could put that on free television. And yeah, I was glad that. No, I ain't tripping on that one. I can see why they put that one on free. Win. Mm-hmm. And on top of it, with Penta retaining, I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And that was the right decision anyway, because they're beginning to build up Penta. He needs to have a decent run with that title. So let him have the IC title. Let him have a wonderful moment where he gets to showcase all the stuff that he could do in a crazy match, and he gets to stunt show out. You get five others who stunt and show out too, and yeah, I think that match was awesome. All six competitors did a great job in it.
Before we get to the app portion of night two,
Yolanda or Yolanda Williams 358, she says, I know some guys that literally bought seats the day of night two. The day of night two. So it was definitely there. So it definitely was empty seats.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, and she's talking about the Javon Evans cutter from on Rusev. He says that cutter was nice. He does not know how to deliver that cutter bad. I don't know.
I'm gonna give some props to Rusev. He took a West Coast pop through a ladder from Rey Mysterio.
Oh yeah, I definitely give Rusev props. Yeah,
and he took that cutter. You took that
cutter. He took some bumps. Yeah, I'll give Rusev credit. He took some bumps.
And then Penta just want to do a Mexican destroyer with Jaden McDonald on another ladder, which is just ridiculous.
I hope McDonald's neck is not broken, because I was like, or pinched. So I was like, oh, that looked nasty.
But y'all see why I be trying to, I be wanting the multi-purpose person matches. They always hit, yo. I be wanting them, because they always hit.
Mm-hmm.
So that match didn't disappoint. Then we get to the out portion of it. Cool, McCain, go ahead and do the chant for me.
Whoop that trick. 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 Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy.
United States Championship match between Sami Zayn and Trick Williams. Went exactly as we wanted it. Trick Willie coming out as the new United States Champion. Mr. Johnson, how did you feel about the match in general?
Gentlemen, I think you saw what I witnessed too. But the one thing that stuck out to me was, I don't know if they called it backstage or if they called it in the ring. Trick worked like a babyface and Sammy worked like a heel. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I noticed that too.
As soon as he went after Lil Yachty, and Lil Yachty ain't even done nothing yet. As soon as he went after him, I'm like, okay, I see what.
But even before that, I saw Trick had the quick burst in the beginning. I was like, that looks babyface-ish in psychology. And yep. I was seeing Sammy being methodical, and I was like, that's more heelish. And that was before he jumped Yachty from behind.
Well, you know, Sammy's been turning heel for about 2 months now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
Samuel has been doing that.
Mm-hmm. So I think now they have greased the wheels easily for Trick now to actually have a face run if they want him to go that route now with the title, because it's undeniable. The crowd wants to cheer that guy. I mean, the guy could pimp slap Kamala Harris and he would still be cheered. I mean, he's just that beloved.
Oba and Trick.
And Javon. Do not forget to add Javon to that.
I'm talking about when they came out, you can hear the entire stadium behind them.
Oh yeah, I mean they did. They were showing off for Javon too, though. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm like, yo, we the future is now.
Oh yeah, I mean between those three and Lash, yeah.
Don't be trying to play the young OG.
Is now, yeah. The future is now.
I want to see what title Oba gonna be after. Man, we know, like, not to be funny, we know the answer.
So that was crazy. Trick Williams, New United States champion. Dre, going back to our ladder match.
Yeah, he says that was the match of the event, and he said he called that before the event took place. Again, they did awesome job. Yolanda says Sammy heel turned during the match, and yeah, I think him jumping Yachty from behind could have been actually signaling a heel turn right there. I agree with you there, Yolanda. The mentioning of John Evans, Oba Femi, Trick Williams, and Lash Legend. She said black excellence was on display. Yes, yes, yes.
I agree.
And Dre says, let trips with these brothers.
Oh, don't trust me. If he does, I know a certain person on this program is going to be letting off on Paul.
And we all will be shutting up to hit.
Oh, if you do that, y'all already know.
We will all shut up to hear it and be grinning, because we will endorse every single word that will come out of Cool's mouth about that.
I'm going to hit him with a Booker T. Paul, I'm coming for you.
So, trust me, we got somebody on the program who is ready for that moment, if that moment arrives.
Yeah, and to me, I think he's
been starting right, stuff. Won't be no stuff.
Okay.
You sound like a woman I'm talking to now, because that's exactly what she'd say. I don't start no stuff, but I surely finish it. I'm like, doggone, girl.
All right, I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna be honest on this one. If there was a match-wise letdown, not result-wise letdown. Match-wise letdown, the street fight between Demon Valor and Dominic Mysterio.
Respectfully, that was already expected from me.
I can see that. To me, that was the worst match of night two. Yeah. But this is how crappy night one was. That match was better than any of the night one matches.
I was about to say they could be the main event for night one.
Yeah. That match was better than any of the night one matches, even though that is the worst night two match.
I don't know what it was. I'm like, well, they're trying not to go too hard.
to me, what was the use of having Finn turn into the demon?
Yeah, it wasn't no use to turn into the demon to fight Don Mysterio.
Right.
It wasn't.
No, because that was unnecessary.
Cause like he just turned back face. So you just gonna bring the demon back already? Like we ain't gonna, you know.
Well, the demon's only a special attraction, guys. We're not gonna see the demon again for a while, okay, guys?
Right.
Until Triple H had a program where he needs somebody to fight a supernatural force.
You're 100% right.
It wasn't happening.
You want
to? And Finn's gonna.
You want to say right? You want to say right, dude?
Yeah, bro, he's gonna go
totally crazy, right, dude.
And you know what he's gonna do, bro? He's gonna put on the paint, bro. He's gonna turn into a demon, bro. And all of a sudden, he's supposed to win because he's a demon, bro. You know, the demon's been getting his butt dragged for years, bro.
Dude. Totally.
But that was a letdown for me, man. Jeez. That was a letdown for me.
To me, that's
better than anything in night one, but I agree.
Oh, yeah, 100. That match was better than anything in night one, match wise. But they did not need to unveil Finn Balor as a demon. At least, why the dude only turned face, 3 weeks ago? What's the need? Now, if you're doing a whole program with Dom and it's been like 3-4 months and Dom has gotten the better of Finn Balor, then I could see why the demon would come. I would see that would make storyline sense. But just pop in from out of nowhere? Nah.
Mm-mm. Hey, Mr. Johnson, I told you about stepping up in here and trying to make sense and stuff. I told you about that, man. I told you about that.
And then
makes sense.
Hey, that's what we do. Then that brings us to the WWE Women's Championship match. Jade Cargill against Rhea Ripley.
I'm gonna strictly speak from 2% perspective. As far as case go, this was a match for the ages. The outfits were perfect. Cakes were on display, nice movements, not too much. It wasn't overdone in a trashy way, but it was perfectly displayed cakes. And I mean, I don't know if you like more buff women like Jade or a little bit slimmer like Rhea now that she had to drop some muscle mass because of her back, but that was a delicious match. From that perspective, very delicious. All right. Now from the wrestling perspective, I like that they dug into each other. It was a brutal match as we expected. We knew we were going to get a little bit of the whatever they call themselves, the two chicks would be trying to help Jade. And I also knew that if there wasn't going to be a third, Jade wasn't going to win. Last week, I thought there was going to be a third. WWE said, no, that's all they get. So I'm like, oh, if you just give them that too, then I wouldn't have picked Jade.
Mr. Johnson, I would like to hear your thoughts, but this is where my issue from early comes into play.
Okay. I really believe, even though I knew Rhea was going to get the title, simply because Rhea's the it girl backstage for WWE.
She ain't the only girl.
She in the backstage, she is the it girl. Because they consider her to be the number one woman on the roster. I'm not talking about fans, I'm talking backstage.
Oh, that's my
with that being understood, I think you would get more mileage out of Jade being a monster heel. I think the right decision would have been you have Io come in, but you counter that with having another girl join B-Fab and Mee-Chin and screw Rhea out the title and make it more difficult for people to get at the title. And you could probably take it off of Jade SummerSlam, but you should have given her more of a monster heel run. And if that would be the case, then I think that match, to me, the match would have been, the end would have been better. Although I credit the girls for making a really good ending, because it was nice to see Jade get out of Riptide, and it was cool to see how Rhea slipped Jaded.
Yeah, but I really let them get out. Got each other's moves, so it did something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I really believe the booking decision should have been, they should have had Jade go over and add a fourth member to this team.
Mr. McCain.
Yes, sir?
How you feel about Cody Rhodes still being champion?
Oh, you know I don't like it.
No, I'm asking that for a reason.
Yeah, you know I don't like it. And the thing is, the only reason I'm accepting it right now is because if the reports are true, Randy was supposed to win, but he's hurt. So you can't win hurt. So, but even with that, if you go back to something I was saying when he won a championship, there was no need for Cody Rhodes to win a championship. If you wanted to add him to the match, make it a four-way, add Cody and somebody else, Jacob Fatu. That would have been a fine four-way and would have been a better match than what either individual match really was. Yeah, I mean, it was.
The reason why I asked my co-host that question is because the way he feels about Cody Rhodes right now as QB1, Mr. Johnson, this is where you told me to say how I felt, but later on, this is where it comes in at. This is the way I'm feeling about Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan.
Hey, I get it. I get it.
What, they don't need to sniff titles? Is that what you're saying?
He's just tired of seeing their face.
At the top.
Yeah, go home. Cody need to do what he told Wichita to do and go home.
Because Cool would tell you when we recap Warrior Rumble, I wasn't really happy that Liv Morgan won. That means she was. I already knew she was going to win this at WrestleMania. Who, no matter who she chose, she was going to win.
Yep.
That was the wrestling was going to go. And then same thing when we found out that Rhea and Io dropped the tag team titles. Like, so Rhea's going to win the Elimination Chamber, which means she's going to WrestleMania and she's going to win the title.
Unfortunately,
well, I mean, you have the same thing forming with the men's side. So
yeah.
You know, so why would you be surprised it's happening with the women?
Good.
Because unfortunately, the truth is the backstage believe. The truth is, the backstage they believe the two women in the high and in the pecking order is Rhea 1, Liv Morgan 2.
See, the thing is, the difference between the men and the women. Cody Rhodes has the title. Yeah, took it off Drew. It's 50-50 on that one because some of us, we want Drew to have his moment.
But that wasn't his moment.
I don't care. I don't care if it was Drew or somebody else. I just wanted someone to actually keep the belt and not have QB1 run around having 50 reigns of 50 days of 500 days each. You know what I'm saying?
And that's why Drew getting the title was not his moment.
CM Punk win the title. Great. You're going to get your moment. You're finally going to get your WrestleMania headline. But we know you dropping the Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you get to go out there and perform and drop it.
Right.
You had the title on Stephanie McCare, who's supposed to be part of the future. Cargill, who's supposed to be part of the future.
But they're not solid. They're not as sold on Jade in terms of ability. They're sold on her in terms of look. Backstage not sold on her in ability.
And you also got to remember, Stephanie McCurry wasn't even supposed to be champ. That's supposed to be Naomi. She got pregnant.
Right.
So you got to remember that too.
And as great as a talent Stephanie Vaquera is. Unfortunately, she's Chilean. She's not American. She doesn't speak English all that well.
She's a mouthpiece, yeah.
That that pretty much would mean either she gets a mouthpiece or you turn her heel. And unfortunately, you know how WWE does with heels of people who are not American.
Right. So you just need to get her mouthpiece.
But yeah, you want to go all over the world.
Mm-hmm. And I say that for that particular reason, Playmaker. You want to go all over the world, but you will stereotype any non-American as a heel. So, to even the 226. Yolanda says, Jay did her thing. Yes, she did. She did do
it. And by the way, those of you out there who hate on Jay, y'all shut up, because that match was mostly carried by Jay.
Yeah, Jay did do her thing. And
but you know what? It doesn't matter what she does. People are going to hate on her.
Yeah. And the thing is, that's why I say I think backstage they were not really sold on her ability. And I'm thinking she's actually done pretty well. I mean, she's done well enough to where you actually decided to put the title on her and have her run with it for 6 months. So
she did better than a lot of other people.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the 2 years that she's been affiliated with WWE, looks like she's grown by leaps and bounds. And you got a main event player with her. But the pecking order is perfectly stated, right. Yolanda. Paul, mm-hmm. or for people don't know, Paul Triple H Levesque loves Rhea. Paul. Or Paul loves Rhea. And in the pecking order is Rhea 1 and Liv 2. Dre says, or Sportswear with Dre Day podcast says, I'm okay with Liv winning as long as it leads to Raquel Rodriguez taking it from her soon, preferably SummerSlam. My question to you, Dre, and to you guys, what would you rather Raquel be, a babyface or a heel? Because I'm getting the feeling they want to turn Liv face again.
I don't ever want Raquel Rodriguez to be a face. That is a horrible experience for us all.
Yeah.
She is definitely a heel. You can turn Liv, but if you turn Liv, there's only two ways you can do it. You either have to turn her and Dom,
or she's
in the whole Judgment Day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or she gets jumped by Raquel. And Dom's not doing enough to help her because he's too worried about himself.
And he throws
his tongue. Two ways of work.
Yeah, and he throws his tongue down Roxanne's throat right in front of Liv.
Ugh. I didn't say that out loud.
Yolanda says heel. I agree. Because I think she's so forced being face. Dre says, I'd rather heel Raquel because the face turn was bland. Yep, it was bland. It was real bland. It was very bland.
That brings us to the main event of WrestleMania 42 World Heavyweight Championship. CM Punk defending against Roman Reigns. Gentlemen, first question. What do you think of the entrances of both competitors?
I'll go with CM Punk first. I love the fact that his psychology was, you call me old, I'm going to prove that I'm not old. And I'm going to pull out all the stops to make sure I retain the title. He took a heel-like tactic and a heel-like approach to the match. And then in a brilliant way of selling, actually showed that he basically was too old and got too battered to actually finish off the job. I thought that was a great bit of storytelling there.
Even though you didn't answer my question.
You said what you think about both. You said what you think about both competitors.
No, I said both entrances of the competitors.
Oh, both entrances. Both entrances. Both are all right. Both entrances. Both are all right.
That's what I said. Thank you, Benny, for paying attention.
bump both inches. It was all right.
Cool. What's the start of the match?
Well, I'm going to answer the question for Cole first. So I think that CM Punk's entrance was a little bit more methodical and thought through. But the thing with Roman is like Triple H. You've had so many entrances that it's hard for you to still do a really good entrance. Right? This man's been, what, 15 WrestleManias?
Close to.
He's
main evented 11 of them. Yeah.
He's main evented 11. He's been to 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. So you think about it like that. There's only so many different unique things that you can do. And his character hasn't changed in 5 years.
Yep.
The only difference is right now he doesn't have his family technically with him, but they're with him. Right? He's still the OTC. He's still the tribal chief. He's still got the Ulafala, whatever you call it. Ulafala. And all that. So we haven't seen a change, so there was not really a way for him to come out and do some spectacular different entrance. So if you're talking about which one I thought was better, I would go slightly with CM Punk, but just because, like I said, feels more thought through. Feels like Roman Reigns' interest was like, whatever. Whatever, bro.
A very lengthy match, a very physical match. No chicanery, no tomfoolery. That somebody's leaving with the title. And that happened to be Roman Reigns, who didn't have no help. So what they gonna say now?
So to answer your other question, you did ask me what I thought about the match itself. It was what it had to be. Main event of WrestleMania, we knew it was gonna be a good match. We knew that Roman Reigns was gonna win, Punk was gonna lose. We knew that coming into the match. And if you didn't know that, then I don't know what planet you exist on. But in the words of Drew, me and you are on different earthesis, if you didn't notice from the beginning. But the point was how you get there. How hard do you make it for Roman Reigns to accomplish the goal? Because all you're really trying to do out of all of this, if we're being 100% honest, is make people ready to glaze the glizzle of Roman Reigns. And the glizzle of Roman Reigns has been prepared for glazing for a while. It gets LeBron James glazing at this point. And now it's ready for another round of glazing.
Roman Reigns is the World Heavyweight Champion. And that's how we closed out WrestleMania 42. And yes, Benny, I'm with you. The old thing was there.
We knew it wasn't gonna leave. The old one was too hip hoppity to stay.
But Mr. Johnson, I got one more order of business. And I'm doing this because I was on the show with Dre Day, and I let Dre do his thing. So, Mr. Johnson, we come on screen, sir, because I think you want to see this. So, a certain group of twins decided to post on social media
after victory,
and this is what they posted.
So and that concludes Monos of Wrestling. We hope you enjoyed this program. Because if I would actually say what I think about these dummies and goofs, I would want to throw all four of them in the trash can.
So Nikki decided to take a picture with her sister, AJ Lee and Paige, and put the caption as you see right here. Bailey responds in kind.
Bailey, you right, girl. But this is why I do not want these trash Bellas anywhere in the vicinity. Go back to Phoenix and deal with your families.
Can we give the Bellas a name that I think really suits them?
Bull Spillers.
I'm gonna go back to the words of one Y2J Christian Derrico, and we're gonna call them low down, dirty, bottom feeding, trash bag horse.
Yeah, that's I like that.
Not my words. These are the words of one Y2J Chris Jericho.
a bunch of Bulls Bettas.
So, yes, we feel how we feel about the Bellas. I told Dre on the show when we talked about, I think Paige was just an innocent bystander who got caught up in it. But who's that person right next to Paige, Mr. Johnson?
The person right next to Paige would be AJ Mendez. Or AJ.
I have a problem with her.
Your problem with her is, sir?
What is she known for?
She's known for eviscerating, if not the Bellas, all three. She's known for eviscerating all three of them with doing her version of her husband's pipe bomb.
And you gonna take a picture with them talking about the original Four Horsemen?
All's forgiven. Time heals all wounds, guys.
when Kojon said it perfectly, eviscerated the entire Divas division.
Time heals all wounds, guys. Y'all want to bring up old stuff all the time. Y'all always want to bring up the past. Y'all can't let them women get past it.
Yeah, she cut a promo basically saying, I am the anti-diva, basically. And, you know, because you all are plastic and fake, I'm real. But, well, 13 years later, we're doing this.
Oh, I got it, Joe.
All right.
What had happened is within this time frame, so many of the new divas are plastic that even though these divas have plasticity within them, they are such a lower percentage than these new divas that are full of plastic and toxicity that this was a better choice. Damn. BS. Brought to you by Cool McCain.
You see these four ladies down here at the bottom? They are the original Four Horsemen. Because these four, they did it in NXT. Not the main roster. It was NXT when this was came to fruition. Because these folks putting on bangers left and right.
Did they put on banger after banger after banger after banger?
Mr. Johnson, how many bangers can be called with these four at the top? Man, I hate doing this to Paige and AJ Lee, but since y'all decided to take part in, I must do it.
How many matches would we consider them putting bangers on?
Yeah.
I was about to say,
let me see. Let me think of the number. I'm having a hard time thinking of the number. The number is, oh yeah, zero.
Paige put on a bunch of bangers. They just want
to wrestle. The bangers that Paige performed was introduced in a hotel room, a bed, and a man.
She was on that Cassidy.
Those are the best matches that Paige has ever performed in. One where she's saying, oh my God, and she didn't say that in the ring.
Cool. I know you like to use the word glizzy glob when it comes to when we talk about men. What's the female version of that?
So I'm trying to find a version that is PG. I have not done that as of yet. That makes sense. I'm thinking of lip locker as the lip locking.
So are you lip lockers up there who's like, why is y'all taking it so serious trying to defend Miss Nicole? Because when you say the original Four Horsewomen, you taking a shot at the ones who actually brought it to life.
You can say they brought it to life.
So guess what? When you take shots, people will respond in kind and defend what they will defend. Because these four, Becky Lynch, don't matter how we feel about Becky now, but Becky Lynch, Bayley, Charlotte, and Mercedes Moné, they was on the NXT putting on bangers. And people enjoyed every moment of it.
With themselves and with others. Meanwhile, the only bangers Paige was putting in Was it a Motel 6 with Xavier Woods?
And Brad Maddox.
Oh, and Brad
Maddox. To acknowledge he spent more time focusing on fun time than wrestling. That's why he's no longer a wrestler. He'll tell you. I respect that, though.
Yeah, and she had to retire from that arena when she basically was in no holds barred sessions with Alberto Del Rio.
Alberto Del Rio.
Yolanda says they the only four horsewomen talking about
Charlotte,
yeah. Sasha, and Bayley.
The rest of it is just juice de la trash.
So, with that being said, that will conclude our reaction to the WrestleMania 42. You're 2 minutes into the Raw after WrestleMania, so you go ahead and enjoy it. Let's see what craziness that comes out of this show.
Go back and retire, Cabela's.
For Cole Johnson, for my co-host, Cool McCain, I am the Playmaker. Y'all enjoy the rest of y'all evening. We'll be back next week.
Throw them ones up.